We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
When they make a $300 million movie and release it during the election year 2024 called Civil War, based on leftist uprisings and killing a Trumpian figure, they're not doing it as a joke. When Obama produces a Netflix film, Leave the World Behind, what is the point of that? Roger Avery, one of the most respected writers, producers, and filmmakers in Hollywood, joining us today, taking it to the next level. What is predictive programming? Why did this film, Civil War, make you so upset?
Well, I mean, Leave the World Behind is another one where, this is our former president who is making a movie that is effectively advocating leaving the world behind. Okay, why is he making that? You know, what compels him to make that, to have the little girl in it say, "Daddy, I don't trust white people," and stuff like that? That's really putting something out there that people are going to listen to and pay attention to. And then I saw this movie, Civil War, and it really enraged me. It was everything that I was afraid that it was going to be, which made by a British guy, of all things. And look, I like Alex's movie, Ex Machina, and I admire him as a writer. He's done some work that really interests me. But if you want to make a movie, about the collapse of everything, go make a movie. Do this. And so I'm watching this film, and especially having Nick Offerman playing what I'm presuming is a kind of Trump stand-in, this kind of cartoon character of a president, cartoon character playing a president, and standing in for him, and then making this movie that does nothing but kind of visualize the collapse of the United States and this battle that takes place and the ultimate statement being, don't let them kill me. And that's enough for the journalist. And the idea that the journalists, who I think in this day and age are villains, the journalists are the heroes in this. And so everything about this movie was like a kind of program, a kind of statement. And I despise the film. And I looked at it and I thought, this movie is attempting to collapse our country. It's attempting to prepare everyone for this kind of this vision to occur. And and Alex, I think, has said, well, it's, I'm viewing everything from a neutral stance. And I didn't feel that at all. I felt that it was an attempt to will it into being.
Lesser magic, which the Satanists do, they'll tell you, they show the thing in play before they do it. They believe it makes it happen, and it gives it more power once they do it. And then you have the Podesta plan that if Trump won, they would actually do this and have the military turn against Trump, and now they've tried it. It's not an endorsement of Trump. He's doing some things I don't like right now. The point is they are literally pre-programming this and admitting it.
Yeah, and they're willing it into happening, and they're showing everyone an example of what it would be. So that, again, the revelation of the method, you see what's there, and it makes it okay for it to happen. And it's a form of also of predictive programming.
And you started Joe, but then I do it too. He cut you off on another subject. Elaborate, because I've studied the Graham Grimoires, Black Magic, all that stuff to understand these people. They talk about you have to show them, you have to tell them. That's a metaphysical rule. It also gets them ready. And then it makes it even more powerful when you actually do it. And then you realize that they're doing this. Speak to that if you can.
Well, we live in a universe of mind. And the one thing I've started to realize is that these kind of forms of spells, this magic is real. When you believe something enough, you create a reality.
Yeah, we call it a spell. What it is a narrative to control your mind, and we can build incredible things. So it's a program.
It is a program. You select it, you project it, you expect it, and then you collect it. It's the spec method, and it actually works. And so people who are using it for, you know, there's good spells and bad spells, and there's spells that are promoting humanity, and then there's spells that are disintegrating humanity.
So we're talking about self-fulfilling prophecies.
When people are, doing sacrifice, whether it's human sacrifice or animal sacrifice, the reason they're doing it is because it works. And we see that it actually works inside of the Hollywood system, that it becomes supported. And whether that's just a corrupt system supporting the people that accept this kind of perspective, or whether it's actually altering the quantum reality as we know it, you know, that's debatable. But the fact is that it works. And so,
bottom line, it's a litmus test. Will you go against humanity? Will you do horrible things? It's a test.
And, you know, Hollywood has been built on, you know, the bread and butter of Hollywood is built on wrath and revenge and stimulating these ideas inside of people.
Death wish.
And it was something that I believed in for, you know, a good portion of my youth as I was trying to push the ceiling as an artist. And at a certain point, I started to realize it's, you know, you can make a movie about revenge and be a mediocre filmmaker, and people will say that you're a master, because you're supporting that message. Okay, you try to make a movie about forgiveness, which is the opposite of wrath. Okay, that's really hard. Like, to really make a movie about forgiveness, if you do that, you're a master. And when I started watching this
show... So is that why The Passion of the Christ is so successful? We want movies about forgiveness.
That's one of the reasons The Passion of the Christ is absolutely so successful, is because... And Mel Gibson is a master, because, you know, he's continuously tried to make these movies that, I mean, Passion of the Christ, it doesn't hold its punches back. It's like an Italian giallo movie. That movie is, I had to turn from it at times, and I have a pretty high threshold. But, you know, it was ghastly watching
that film. Very gritty, very, you could feel it.
You know, I started watching The Chosen, and, you know, I think The Chosen, this guy Dallas Jenkins, who directs every single episode, who has gone against the Pharisees of Hollywood and made it completely separate and done things that you're told you're not allowed to do, like directing every episode of a show. He has shepherded this story of the Gospels and told the story like the TV show Rome. He's told it from a very ground level perspective, that, you know, so that we can identify with the characters.
So that's the same guy that made Rome?
No, it's like Rome, though, in that
Who's
Rome
the guy that made Rome? He came and visited me and wanted to make a film with me. Great guy. Who's the guy that made Rome? It was buried to Sharon Stone. Doesn't matter. He's a great guy. Another guy.
Well, I mean, Milius was one of the progenitors of that project, so I consider it Milius. But I'm trying now to remember the name of the actual showrunner guy, but the thing about The Chosen is we kind of know where it's going. And he's making an episode about forgiveness essentially every week. And we've been able to watch him develop as a filmmaker. And I have the greatest admiration for this guy, because he is truly a master of this kind of storytelling. And it is very, very difficult to do. Ridley Scott, one of the examples I used was the movie Revenant, which is about a man trapped in nature. He's isolated.
And it's a true story.
Nature is trying to kill
him. It's a true story.
Yeah, again, it's a true story. Nature is trying to kill him, and he's doing everything he can to get back to civilization, and he's doing it for revenge. Like, that's why he wants to go back. And this movie is very widely received, Academy Awards, blah, blah, blah. Okay, there was another movie that same year, directed by Ridley Scott, about a man isolated in nature. Nature is trying to kill him. He's trying to get back to civilization, and the reason he's trying to get back to civilization is forgiveness. And that movie was The Martian. Okay, that's a much harder movie to make, and it's also a much more difficult movie to accept, because audiences, you know, the serotonin levels get easily stimulated by violent imagery, which is why we've seen television go from a place where you go to return to be comforted by characters that you love, to television where we get you to love a character and then we mutilate them in horrible way. We vivisect their genitals on screen, and that makes you horrified, and you think you've seen something, you know, catastrophic. And like, and I'm talking about Game of Thrones and Walking Dead.
Well, exactly. When you show humans something super violent, like take my grandfather, my dad's dad. He was, well, both my grandfathers were in the Army Air Corps, but he was a bunch of missions out of North Africa, and then Spain, and then Italy, and Germany. Volunteered a bunch. And then he was running, like, food canteens and stuff as an officer after that. But he would go to movies with my dad, and if there was any violence, he'd say, we're getting up, we're leaving. He liked to go watch, like, you know, Dumbo and stuff. And it wasn't because he was a wimp. He'd seen so much blood and death. He took it like death isn't a joke. You can't turn it into entertainment. And what happens to our synapses is we see these simulated murders and death. It basically hits us. So we think we saw something powerful, but it's a cheap trick, I think is what you're saying, because it hits that level, but it wasn't to the higher, you know, levels of our consciousness. It hit us viscerally, so we think we just got a meal, but it's like cotton candy. It's actually poison.
Well, and by the way, there is death in Dumbo and in Bambi. You know, these movies, they dealt with loss and significant loss, but in a human way. And the story of Christ, you know, in the Gospels, as Dallas Jenkins is telling it, is leading to this moment, this horrifying moment. And as you've come to love the characters, you start realizing what's coming and how
it creates that real empathy.
You have to earn that. And I feel like just pushing serotonin levels for the sake of doing it, which I've done as a filmmaker. And I'm not necessarily entirely proud of it.
But what you're saying, it's the easy path. It works, but it literally, art controls society. You keep doing this, you get Satanism, because that's where this goes.
And it's one of the reasons I admire Linkletter so much, is because he seems to be somewhat separate from that and immune from that. He approaches movies from a humanist point of perspective and point of view. And
when I was growing up, I got mad at musicals and love stories and comedies that they were wimpy, because I was all about the serotonin. As I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, I want that. I want a refuge. I want to be happy.
And in truth, it's not bad to have a balance in cinema, but something has happened along the way where the scales have tilted. And I now realize that if you want to be a groundbreaking filmmaker, if you want to push the ceiling, you've got to push the ceiling of forgiveness. You've got to preach forgiveness and
that's right. Love. We've hit the maximum of torture and death and hostile and, you know, all that stuff now it's the other way. It's what you're saying. The revolution.
It's numbing people. It's numbed us to those horrors of life. And simultaneously, we're receiving these kind of predictive programming messages, which seem to be supportive of it. And simple-minded, you know, monkey see, monkey do people will immediately follow that. You know, you put the message out there to somebody to behave a certain way, they will behave that way. Somebody will. And I just now realize as a filmmaker, and it's caused me to have a little bit of a loss of standing in the Hollywood system. I no longer have an agent, for example. I'm no longer a member of the Academy.
But that's a good thing, because the Hollywood has collapsed. So there's a whole new system forming.
Yeah. It's truly a whole new system. I mean, it's... The paradigm has shifted, and we're moving into individuals able to produce at a very high scale. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about AI and people
are
afraid of AI.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm never against a tool. A gun's good for good or good for bad. But obviously, we use AI here. AI for independent groups, what is the good side of AI? You've talked about that. AI filmmaking.
Well, the good side of it is that it's going to democratize the filmmaking process, so that the individual can now make, it's always going to be
a writer's
story.
Vision and literally do something that would cost $100 million.
Yeah. And I think what this is going to do is it's going to not remove the artists from the equation, because I've started an AI company. It's a technology company. And what I'm realizing is you still need artists. What it's going to get rid of is the gatekeepers, the velvet rope. Those people are going to lose their jobs. the executives who really perform nothing other than to say no to everybody, they're going to lose their jobs because they operate out of fear and they're parasites. And
exactly. Thought the internet would suppress and enslave us all, it's backfired on them. Just like they thought.
Correct. You know, people, to be afraid of AI is to sort of like to be afraid of digital video when it first came out. And what I recall.
No, I agree. Listeners have asked me, why do I say embrace it, take it over? I want distributed. I want 1,000, 1,000,000 AIs. What I want to stop is centralized, which we know they've been trying to do. We need Wild Wild West.
Well, and we're getting there. The new AI models are, I mean, there's technology breakthroughs that are allowing the kind of generative video that we see at the highest level that will be able to be, you know, be done on your laptop computer. And so what it is it just means that as a filmmaker and as an artist, as a cineast, you'll be able to visualize whatever is in your head and put it on screen. You know, in the early days of computer graphics, people were wild with computer graphics and they did all sorts of crazy stuff that you know, they were showing off. Eventually it calmed down and it balanced out. And we started seeing guys like, you know, I think Zemeckis is an outstanding filmmaker. And he was largely using it in an invisible way where you didn't even know that you were seeing, something that was
digital. No, that's right. It's a tool and it's how we approach it. They want to tell us it's scary and totalitarian because they mean it for that aim. They don't want us to go pick up the Promethean fire ourselves.
Exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is always about the artist. You know, I watch Star Trek a lot, and they have a holodeck on there, and the holodeck is run by a computer, and it's got computer-generated characters that appear to talk on their own. But in that world, in that paradigm, they still have holo novelists who are effectively in control of the narrative that's being told on the holodeck. And, I've noticed that most technology seems to be copying what we see in movies, just like predictive programming. You know, the iPhone, that was on Star Trek. The computer talking back to us, that was on Star Trek. Because we see that and we're like, I want that. And then some clever guy or girl figures out how to make it.
Just like Genesis tells us, we're not God. We're made in the image of God, who is a creator. Which people try to say AI is superior. True. We built it. No, we have to realize how amazing we are.
And you know, people talk about, you know, is it a demon? Well, angels and demons are the same. And, it's they whisper into the ears of men, and we either listen or we don't. And we either take the advice or we don't. We have the power of choice granted to us by God. And we don't have to listen to the evil that's whispered into our ears. We can listen to the good instead. And that just means that AI will be whatever it is that you create out of it. The world is whatever you create out of it. It's what we visualize to be true and real.
Let me ask you this question. You have narcissist, loves himself, he's beautiful, he's looking in the pool, he falls in the water and drowns. I look at AI, it's just showing us our some work, but because our cerebral cortex can't focus on the trillions of pieces, or we go crazy, but AI does show us the subconscious, really the unconscious. It hallucinates, but so much of what I see from AI is dreams I already had. So we're really looking at a mirror of our own collective unconsciousness here. And like you said, how we program it is the way it goes. And the way they program it, OpenAI, Sam Altman, all of them, to lie, then it hallucinates and fails. With Grok, it's like 3 times better not hallucinating or failing because it's been trained, at least on the surface, to tell the truth. And I've said that myself. I was never a huge liar, but I've, you know, lie about certain things, obviously. But I've learned when I don't lie or even think about what I'm about to say, just say what I really know is true, the brain works quicker because it's not doing calculations or hallucinations of worrying what I'm about to say or how it'll affect people or let me be politically correct. The more I just say what I want, it just gets better and better. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, I worked in VR for a while, and I did a number of tests in VR in the early days, and I was writing white papers on it for a virtual reality company. And what I recognized was that when people put these goggles on for the first time, the first thing they would do is look around. And what it did was it was returning them to like baby brain, where you're seeing the world for the first time and you're exploring the world for the first time. And it takes you back to a very vulnerable place that is still within all of us. And this this baby brain part is vulnerable. And I started recognizing that the first thing people were making with VR, and this is probably one of the things that started triggering my recent way of thinking, was they were immediately trying to do shock horror inside of this virtual reality environment. And I started thinking how dangerous it was and how effective it is because of where the medium is taking your perception to, which is this protected child within you.
Because that's how a baby sees it, is it very exactly.
It with horror.
When you said that, it totally clicked. Sorry to interrupt. I was wondering, what's the look of people that first put on VR? When you said it clicked, that's what a baby does. Exactly.
Yeah, you're examining the world for the first time, and you're seeing things for the first time. And what it's doing is, you know, the medium is the message largely. That's, they don't just say that, it's true. The medium has an effect on your physiology and how you take in, you know, movies. You know, when you watch a film, for example, projected on film, you're watching 24 frames, which are still images every second. And your brain is looking effectively at still images. And then you're using the persistence of vision to stitch those still images together to create the illusion of motion. And this activates beta cycles in your brain. Whereas video was using refresh rates and scan lines, and this activated alpha cycles in your brain, which is why people were able to absorb hours and hours of television very easily, whereas you get exhausted in a movie after 90 or 100
exactly.
minutes. And it's because physiologically,
which in a way it makes it better, it makes it more intense, like a struggle. Exactly. That's why film is so much more powerful, because it's a struggle.
Yeah, exactly. You're an active participant in it. And so VR being its own kind of new medium was taking people back to this kind of protected baby brain space that is inside of all of us and affecting us. And by immediately throwing horror in, because horror is easy to do, we know that it's shocking.
It activates the crocodile brain.
Yeah, it damages your inner child. And so I started realizing this, and that was when people didn't want to read my white paper anymore in VR, because it wasn't necessarily what they wanted to hear. So, we have to be careful with how we assimilate the world around us. I mean, we have layers of abstraction of what is real, and they're, you know, just without movies, just looking at the world, there's a number of layers of abstraction of, you know, there's the light as it travels in through your eyes. There's, you know, the cornea and the lens and all of the cones and rods that take in that light and process it into information. And then even then there are layers inside of our brain on how we perceive what is real. You start adding movies on top of that, and you're starting to affect what reality is. And how
incredible. Roger Avery, stay there. One more segment. I want to get into the right return or attempt return to Hollywood, Where Hollywood Goes, and other films, and Body Snatchers.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss, gummies, and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good, because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working, because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering it. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.